the general powers and duties of a state insurance department. What exactly do they do? They are there, that department is there, to control and supervise insurance business in the state. The head of the insurance department is there to enforce the state laws, the state statutes that relate to insurance. This department issues licenses and certificates of authority. That's where your insurance license is going to come from. And that's where your insurance company's certificate of authority is given. They approve all the policy forms that every company is going to use in the state because they want to make sure the language is clear. They conduct examinations, investigations, and hearings if someone files complaints or has issues with either agents or insurance companies. They can impose penalties. Now, they can't force you to court. If they think it's a bad enough situation, they will have to go through the state's attorney general in order for them to press those kinds of charges. Do remember, the Department of Insurance does not set premium rates. Who does? The insurance companies. And they try to keep the rates very competitive, usually, in the market. And they do not establish fines and penalties. Those are going to be clearly defined in the state statutes. Examination of insurers, insurance companies. How often are they required? They can be examined anytime if there are sufficient complaints, but usually it's every couple of years. These examinations apply to all authorized insurers, meaning all companies who have those certificates of authority in the state, and insurers pay for that examination. So they are very serious and not to be taken lightly. Types of insurance licenses. First of all, let's look at the producer or agent license. Remember, you as an agent, you represent the insurance company, not the client. You have to be appointed to transact business on behalf of the insurance company. So you have to have your insurance license in the state, and then every insurance company that you're going to represent, you must be appointed with that insurance company. So basically, the insurance company knows who's selling their products in a particular state. Then there's the business entity, the agency, for example. It's a corporation, an association, or a partnership, and you have to have someone who is listed as the designated agent of that business entity. Then there's non-resident license. You get a resident license in your permanent state of residence, and then you can get non-resident license in as many other states as you need. Would you do all of them? No, absolutely not. But if you have clients living in other states, then you would need to get a license where your clients reside. You can also get a temporary license. They're usually issued for the continuation of existing business. They're for a short period of time. They are approved by the Department of Insurance. And they're not typically not renewable. What these sometimes will happen, you as an agent, maybe you have some outstanding commissions and you unexpectedly pass away. And your spouse would be most helped if he or she could get those outstanding commissions. So they could apply for a temporary short-term license in order to receive those outstanding commissions because you must have a license in order to receive an insurance commission. You can never get commission if you're not properly licensed. Agent licensing. You have to be at least 18 years old. You have to take and pass the state's licensing exam. You have to then apply to the state and pay whatever fees are required. And you must be of good character because you are going to be put into a position of trust with your clients, and they want to make sure that you're not going to abuse that trust. So once you get a license, you're not done. You have to do some things to keep it in good order. You have to do continuing education within certain licensing periods. It's going to vary state to state. You have to pay renewal fees when you go to renew that license. You have to always keep your name, current name, especially if you marry or remarry, your current address. You always have to make the state aware of any of those changes. And you also have to be aware of any reinstatement rules that might apply. Continuing education requirements. How many hours of continuing education must you do? Be aware, it's going to be different state by state. You can always find it in the state statutes. You want to make sure you are always aware of the hours of continuing education and the time frame in which to get them done. Are there ethics requirements? Again, it's going to vary by state. Make sure you're aware. Oftentimes, there's an ethics requirement that has to be made, and it's part of the total number of CE hours that you must do. And how long is a licensing period? Again, it's going to vary from state to state. It could be 2 years, could be more, could be less. Always be aware. It's your responsibility to know these details in order to keep your license in good order. Unfair trade practices. Misrepresentation, you hear that a lot. It is false, misleading, or deceptive statements about policy terms or benefits. Making a material misrepresentation is against the law. Material meaning important. False advertising. A lot of this is common sense. Do you really think that you could put anything in an advertising that isn't completely true? No, you must always be sure that you are truthful and not deceptive or misleading in any advertising that you do. Rebating? Rebating is offering benefits or services that aren't exactly specified in the policy. If you were to give somebody something extra that isn't spelled out in the policy, that's rebating. It's against the law. Twisting is a term that is used. It's misleading comparisons of policies because you're trying to get somebody to buy your policy, not because it's better for them necessarily, but because you need the commission. That is twisting. It is illegal. Defamation is making malicious or false statements against a company or a person, again, usually to undermine them and try to get the client to not use that particular agent or company. And then unfair discrimination, you just simply cannot do it. You're discriminating on rates, premiums, or benefits just because of a person's marital status or ethnicity or things like that. It cannot be done. It is against the law. Commissions and compensation. It's really very simple. If you're going to be in the insurance industry, you must be licensed in order to receive any type of compensation, which typically is commissions. You have to be properly licensed at the time of the transaction. Violations and penalties. Let's talk about violations first. An insurer or agent is suspected of committing a violation involving an unfair trade practice, like rebating, for example. The head of the Department of Insurance is notified, typically by the client, and they may issue a statement of the charges that are going to be brought against you as the agent. Then, hearings can sometimes be called. An aggrieved party may contest and require a hearing. You always have to have advanced notice of when the hearing is going to take place. Hearings are held fairly quickly. They don't let it drag out too long. And the aggrieved party has a chance to be heard. Now, a desist order, it's issued by the Department of Insurance, usually the head of the Department of Insurance, and it may be issued before a hearing because if they feel that you're doing something that is such a danger to the public, they will issue a cease and desist order before the hearing to get you to stop immediately in order to protect the public. And then other penalties that could happen, they're going to be established within state guidelines or state statutes. They're imposed based upon whatever happens in the hearing, what the outcome of the hearing is. You could have your license denied if you were in the process of maybe getting a license. You could have it suspended, which suspensions usually go anywhere from a short period of time up to a year. Or you could have it revoked. Revocation oftentimes is permanent, and there could be monetary fines as well. Insurance Guarantee Association. First of all, this is a nonprofit legal entity. It protects the insureds from insolvent insurance companies. It's funded by the member insurers, which basically the members are all insurance companies who are admitted to do business in the state. They all pay into this fund. They pay in based on usually the face amount of coverages that they carry in that particular state. Then what happens should an insurance company become insolvent? the receiver who would be watching over that company until the insolvency can go through would be using those funds from the guarantee fund to pay claims and things like that in order to protect the insureds of that insolvent insurance company. Remember, it is illegal to advertise this protection of the association when you're selling. You may not use this association as a selling point when you're talking to clients.